Hello and welcome to episode 64 of Popcorn Optional, a weekly movie podcast where we talk all things movies. And this week we're here to review maybe the craziest movie that I've seen this summer. It's definitely up there. The Megan, or the Meg for short, if you're into that kind of thing. Before we get to that though, we have some news and trailers to talk about, some hot takes to get to, and then as always at the end of the episode, we will do our content of the week. I'm Cameron Salina. Tonight I am joined by my co-hosts Jake Brown and Trevor Allison.
Good to be here, man.
Yeah, ready for a good time, as always.
Everybody is reviewing a movie for the first time since early July, I think.
It's been a busy summer.
Yep. And, yeah. But let's go ahead and get into news items. Idris Elba is or isn't maybe gonna play James Bond. There's this rumor that went out, and then he posted like a selfie that said Elba, Idris Elba, which is obviously a reference to the famous James Bond quote of Bond, James Bond. And then he backtracked and said that there haven't been any actual talks. So, okay, let's play this realm of there isn't any actual talks. Are you guys excited? Would you be excited if Idris Elba ended up playing James Bond?
I feel like we've been talking about this since the podcast started.
Yeah,
like,
this comes up every few weeks, I think, somehow.
Yeah.
totally down for it. Would love for it to happen. Hopefully they make it happen.
He's maybe a little old, but I think it could work. It's not necessarily a problem.
I think he's like the same age as Daniel Craig now.
Right. That's what I'm... Yeah. Which,
if Tom Cruise can still play Ethan Hunt, Idris Elba could play James Bond.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that this is going around as a rumor when Daniel Craig hasn't even started shooting the next Bond film yet. Like, we're at best 5 years away from the next Bond film.
I mean, I think based on how much everyone knows, Daniel Craig doesn't want to play James Bond again. He, depending on his performance, he might deserve an Oscar nod for the next James Bond film.
I don't know. I think Daniel Craig's in the safe no for ever winning an Oscar category.
I don't know. I think maybe if he just keeps on doing these bit parts in Soderbergh movies.
Yeah, I don't think doing a Southern accent with bleach blonde hair is going to get him an Oscar. But keep trying, buddy. If you can't tell, I'm not the biggest Daniel Craig fan. I think his comments after the last movie were a bit exaggerated and dramatic. So, whatever. Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth may not be in Star Trek 4. Guys, would you see Star Trek 4 if those two people were not in it?
I mean, the last Star Trek Beyond was pretty amateur. Yeah, like it was just, it felt like a huge step backwards and didn't make sense in so many directions and so many ways. I will say though that like the new Star Trek series, while it has had its controversies with the whole Khan thing and you know, all that, it's still really fun. It's a really fun series. J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot, those guys know what they're doing. I'm intrigued, but I will say a big part of what made those movies so fun was Chris Pine as Captain Kirk. So I don't know. We'll see.
I think so. Here's the thing. There's no way Chris Pine doesn't make this movie. there's no way. They may pass on Hemsworth and rewrite the script a little bit or rethink the story, but there's no way you make this without Chris Pine. He's James Kirk. He's the biggest name in the film. It's gonna happen. They'll find the money for him. They may not find the money for both of them, but they'll find the money for him.
If anything, my biggest complaint was that there wasn't enough of him in the last movie. So get it together, because he's the best Chris. I mean, if you could get him and Chris Hemsworth, you would have Chris's 1 and 3 in your movie. And that's pretty impressive.
Wait, who's Chris 2?
2's Evans.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
Evans and Hemsworth go back and forth, but I would agree that Evans is probably number two.
I think if you'd asked me, like, post, like, well, see, I think Chris Hemsworth jumps Pratt after Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, Pratt's really killing himself with these Jurassic World movies. Ugh.
Yeah. He just plays, like, and it's not that it's bad, but he just plays the same guy in every movie. Like, there's no range or depth to anything.
No, he's two guys. We've talked about this. He's either Andy Dwyer or he's right. Burt Macklin. Those are the two characters he plays.
Right. That being said, I don't know if Chris Hemsworth has more than Thor. Like, can you guys name another Chris Hemsworth movie?
Rush.
Mm. Oh! Okay, so get him in the hands of a capable director, and he can do big things.
He's in one of those fake Nicholas Sparks movies, right?
I think his brother is.
Yeah, that's his brother.
Oh, okay.
I was rewatching Thor Ragnarok this past weekend, and I didn't realize that his older brother plays him in the reenactment scene with Matt Damon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's so perfect. Now to the biggest news of the week. There have been changes to the Academy Awards. They are going to make some things to liven up and try and bring in some new viewers. The two smaller ones are that the telecast will only be 3 hours, which would mean that during the commercial breaks, they will give out some of the smaller awards. Most likely it'll be like sound design, sound editing, production design, costumes and makeup. There's some things like that that not everybody cares about. Things that people like movies like us, movie people like us care about, but nobody else really does. And then they also announced that the date of the Oscars will be brought up to be earlier in the month of February. So normally it's the last Sunday in February, sometimes the first Sunday in March. And they announced that it'll be February 9th, starting in 2020. They've already booked the 2019 Oscars. So starting in 2020, it'll be February 9th, which is really quick. It won't give people as much time to catch up on movies. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But the biggest news is that there is a new category they will be handing out awards for. There are now 25 categories, and the 25th is not Best Stuntman or Best Stunt Work. It's not Best Mocap or Best Voice Work. It is Best Popular Film.
This is obviously the Best Comic Book Movie Award, right? Isn't that what we're doing here?
Yes. This is Disney going, no joke. So Disney owns ABC. ABC pushes for the broadcast. ABC is the one that suggested this category to bring in more viewers. So it's clearly Disney going, look, we just put out Infinity War. We just put out Black Panther. Let's make a popular film category that doesn't make sense to anybody, but will get us more awards.
Yeah, it feels very much like the... I feel like Black Panther is maybe the most current example, but that and like Mad Max Fury Road of the... This movie is awesome, but because of its genre, it's not going to get nominated for Best Picture.
Mad Max was nominated.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
Right.
But so, Dark Knight, for example, in 2008, right. Did not get nominated. That forced the Academy to move then to 10 pictures for Best Picture. And, you know, we're off from there. But this just seems like it hurts movies more than it gives them, more than it highlights. Like, there's no positive that's done by this effort.
Yeah.
This just shows why the Disney-Fox merger is bad for Hollywood and bad for the viewer, because Disney already has enough power and now they own even more of the world. And this is like we're going to say our own people are the best and give them awards for it. It's like you can't do that. That's not okay.
Right. That's at a point where this starts to become irrelevant.
Yeah, and I about the going to the link thing, I think it's fine if they shorten it. The thing is too long. But let's, you know, instead take out the bits where where Jimmy Kimmel and a whole bunch of actors run across the street to another movie theater. Like, that's funny and cute and everything, but let's do it before or after the show and post it on YouTube. Like, that doesn't need to be part of the awards show. Instead, what you should do with your time is, instead of pushing best sound design to the commercials, you should have a little featurette and say, this is why sound design matters in your movies. And if you kind of, you know, teach people a little bit about why sound design is important, maybe they'll care a little bit more about who wins the award.
Agreed.
Right. No, that's...
And the same thing goes for all the technical categories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting to have them do an explanation of, here's what this actually means. Here's what we're giving this award for. Educate the audience. Don't just act like they're stupid and there's no way to educate them. But the biggest thing is that this seems to hurt Black Panther. You know, there's a lot of people, Christopher Nolan being the big one, who said that he thought that Black Panther could get a Best Picture nomination. He said he was rooting for it because, you know, Dark Knight didn't, and he wanted to see a comic book movie get it. This almost makes it seem like there's no way for movies like Black Panther to get that recognition.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the difference between like the Billboard Awards and the Grammys, but the Grammys kind of are the Billboard Awards. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I think they specifically said that something could be nominated in both categories, but I think the way the Academy works is people are going to divide, and really you're going to have individual voters, I guess, deciding, well, this is a Best Picture kind of movie, or this is a Popular Picture kind of movie. And you're going to see, I think, a pretty stark division on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, ABC, Academy, get it turned around. It's not too late to take this category out and give credit to some people that actually deserve credit, casting, things like that, that would actually deserve to be credited during the show. So get it together if you are one of the few people that listens to this podcast. Thank you. All righty. Let's get to another edition of Hot Takes. This is a little segment we like to do from time to time where we give a hot take. Now, a hot take is an expression that somebody gives that kind of goes against popular theory. It's not meant to be the most highly thought of. It's kind of shallow. There's not much depth. It's outlandish and hyperbolic. Is that right? Hyperbolic?
Hyperbolic.
Hyperbolic. Oh my gosh, that's bad. Oh my goodness. Oh no. All right. So they kind of go against what popular culture believes to be true or acceptable. So if I was to say, like, In-N-Out's a garbage restaurant. Now, Texans may actually think that, but the rest of the United States would be like, that's not true. It's great. So
there's room in your heart for Whataburger and In-N-Out. I love both.
There is, but one needs to...
Not when your arteries are clogged.
There we go. That's the joke. Thank you, Jake. There we go. It was good. That was good. Alrighty, let's go ahead and get to our hot takes. Jake, let's start off with you. What is your first hot take?
Okay, guys. I've got two that I feel pretty good about, but I'll start with one that's a little more cool than I think the other one is. My hot take is that Dave Bautista is better than The Rock.
Oh, what do you mean by better?
Like, if you look at what movies he's been in, the performances that they've
given.
Do you
think that he's a better actor? You think he's better all around?
I think he's, besides like charisma, yes, he's better all around. I think he's a better physical actor. I think, I think that he is a better actor than The Rock, and a better person. And a better physical performer, better movies.
Can we talk about how The Rock is draining quick? That dude needs a hit. He's had Rampage and Skyscraper this year, and both were tankers. You better hope that Jungle Cruise is big.
That's my thing, is like Dave Bautista just seems to like pick the right movie and the right script and the right roles. And when he does them really well.
I'm really, the only issue that I had with Blade Runner 2049 is that it didn't have enough of his character in it.
Yeah.
He was so great in his limited time. He's absolutely hilarious as Drax the Destroyer. His comedic timing, his delivery is so good. I think this is pretty hot, but I think that there's a little bit of merit in it. I need to see a little bit more of Dave Bautista before I start to really agree with this.
But I think that's almost what makes it hotter, is that in the short time that Dave has done things, you could say that he's better. Because The Rock's done a lot. Like, he's been around.
Yeah. I would call this a Scotch bonnet pepper.
Okay. 350. 350. That's good. Yeah. Just so you guys know at home, we like to use the Scoville, which is the reading of how hot a pepper is, to dictate, you know, what's the hottest of hot takes that we give tonight. So, Trevor, Scotch Bonnet, 350. It's a good one. I'm going to say this is a chocolate habanero.
Okay.
Oh, a little bit hotter. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like a 500,000. It's pretty hot. It's towards the top of the scale, but this is pretty hot. I like this one quite a bit. It's outside the box.
Okay.
Well, all right, Trevor.
Okay, mine. This may require a few seconds of you guys looking something up and reading a few things. Okay. But my hot take is that Looper was the best movie of 2012.
Okay, ooh. So other movies in 2012 are Argo, Lincoln.
Silver Linings Playbook, Les Mis.
Silver Linings, Les Mis.
Moonrise Kingdom, The Avengers.
The ooh. Best?
Yep. Oh.
Guys, Pitch Perfect.
Okay, I actually like Pitch Perfect. So
Zero Dark 30.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. Gosh darn it, Trevor.
I knew this Life would be tough pie. For you, Cam.
So the question is, how hot is this? I'll give this. This is hot. I don't think it's as hot as maybe Jake's. I'll go habanero. I think this is. I think it's good. I think it's very. You know, very. Okay, best movie and my favorite movie are two different things. I do think it's probably. Oh, I don't know if it's true.
Oh, guys, John Carter came out in 2012. End of discussion. This is not. All right. This is.
Well, that's the podcast ending moment, so we'll quit here.
John Carter. Remember when that was going to be a thing?
Mm. Yeah, and then remember when I wish it Disney like $200
million? I wish
million
it had been good. I wanted it to be good so bad.
The Master came out in 2012.
Oh,
I mean,
The Master's good.
Your take is hot because it's not right.
Right.
So it's a hot
That's a good
take.
Way to put it.
And so I'm going to give you a Naga Viper, because there are some greats of the 2000s that came out in 2012. So, but Looper is one of them. I think Looper is criminally underrated. But I mean, to say that it's the best movie that came out in 2012, that's a pretty hot take.
I mean, that's why it's a hot take.
That's why it's a hot take.
Do you believe that, Trevor?
I mostly believe it. I kind of put together a list the other day for the last few years of kind of a combo of my favorite movies mixed with best movie, and it landed at number one.
That's pretty hot. I'll give you that. It's definitely up there. Okay, I'll start off with this one. Will Smith has never made a good movie.
Oh, Men in Black is pretty good. The first one.
Is it good because it's bad, though?
I don't know. Now I'm questioning everything I thought I knew.
Yeah. Like, if you want to say After Earth is good, I'll give you that. But that's maybe it. Wait. Completely kidding. Completely kidding.
Okay. I forgot that M. Night Shyamalan directed that.
Oh, yeah. And Jaden Smith was in it.
Okay. So, here's the thing. you're mostly right. But I will say, Men in Black is really fun, and he kills it in that role. Men in Black 2, not so much.
I didn't say that he was bad in the movies.
You think he's bad in it?
No. That's what I was saying is I don't think that he's bad in these movies. I'm just saying that he hasn't been in a good movie. Normally, when he's in it, he is normally good, but the movies are not good.
I like Men in Black. Men in Black's good.
Yeah,
do you not
this
think
is...
that what's that movie that he was in?
Independence Day?
No, that movie's fine.
Pursuit of Happiness?
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness. That's pretty good.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's nothing about it that's like good.
I think that I Am Legend is pretty good.
Oh.
I think it's all right. I think that I, Robot is all right.
Yeah, I, Robot's okay. Passable.
But yeah, I think that...
But that's the thing is all of his movies are like passable.
He's like
he's
kind of
he's good in them, but the movie itself is not good.
He's kind of like Dwayne The Rock Johnson in that his charisma kind of carries him, except that we don't realize it because he's been doing it for even longer and actually was always an actor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is kind of hot, but not crazy hot. I'm gonna go like cayenne pepper.
Gosh darn it.
I'm gonna say this is a bird's eye chili.
What's a bird's eye chili?
I don't have that on my list. I don't know what that
is. It's 100. It's right under a habanero.
Oh, okay.
Ugh.
Okay.
Dang it.
Sorry, Cam.
All right. Well, no, I just have yet to give like a hot take. Every time I come in and I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be a scorcher.
Yeah.
It's like
Jake
that's
is
a bell pepper.
Jake is way better at this
cheese
than we are.
I'm an exaggerator at heart, guys.
Well, let's go ahead and get some more exaggerations then, Jake. What's your second one?
Okay, this one's pretty hot. Oof. I think it's pretty hot. This hot take is about one of the most iconic television relationships of all time. And that hot take is that Karen is better than Pam.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Gosh darn it.
Oh, my gosh.
Gosh,
this is a movie podcast.
I mean,
this is a movie / The Office podcast, Trevor. Get it right.
So that's actually more accurate. There's a lot of nuance to this take. Karen is fine. She was a victim of circumstance. Also, the show was set up to make you not like her. There's a lot of things working against her. But Karen is not really that bad. But she was just... So I keep on saying but. Karen was the normalest person in a whole room of crazies. And that's why no one liked her. So, but this is right, pretty so hot.
I was not prepared for this.
So my explanation of it is that while yes, Jim and Pam are quote soulmates, or as Michael Scott would call them, soup snakes, they are that because the show has established them as that. Because of the relationship that they have built up of like a crush. And it's written in the perspective of, well, these two are star-crossed lovers, clearly. But when you watch the show, and I've watched it many a times, Pam kind of sucks. Multiple times, she leads Jim along for 3 years, has multiple, longer than that, 3 years of the show. Multiple chances to get with him. Are they going to? Are they not? She messes it up. She gets back with Roy. Roy tries to kill Jim. Jim's like, it's fine. It's whatever. Karen's great. They get along great. They have similar career goals, all this stuff. And then like Jim leaves Karen for Pam. And then Pam asks Jim to leave his dreams and do all of these things. But Jim is just like, well, gosh darn it. I'm just Mr. Perfect and I'm just going to do all these things. But Pam kind of sucks.
Hey, so wait, say your hot take again how you said it.
Karen's better than Pam.
For Jim or in every way?
Maybe in every way.
This is pretty hot. This is like chocolate habanero for me. It's pretty hot. But no, it's not. No, I'm stepping it down to just a regular habanero. No chocolate, just regular habanero.
What?
You're kind of convincing me, Jake. You're like convincing me that it's not actually hot.
Go back to when you were originally freaking out, because you were freaking out.
Yeah.
To me, this is like, this is hot, but I don't think it's that true.
I would read 10,000 words on this topic.
We should do it. We should have an entire episode about this.
I'm gonna go habanero as well.
I'm disappointed.
So sorry. Trevor, give us a hot take.
I've got a hot take, and you guys, this may not even be that hot, but it's the best I can do right now. Cameron, you had a hot take a few weeks ago about the worst thing that happened to movies in the 21st century or something. I think the worst thing that has happened to films and movies as a whole in the last 15 years is 3D.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't think this is hot at all. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't think 3D is that bad. At times, I even think it's good depending on what movie it is. Like I think Hugo, if you ever saw Hugo in 3D, I think it was actually pretty decent. Life of Pi in 3D was pretty great.
Life of Pi, insane.
Life of Pi, another 2012 movie.
That's the Life of Pi is the only movie I've seen in 3D that I felt like it actually used 3D effectively.
But at the end of the day, nothing has been irreparably done by 3D that can't be like undone. Like, there's even, like, talks. I read an article, like, a month ago that was about how 3D is dying and a lot of movie theaters are actually moving away from it and trying to move more towards, like, IMAX and bigger stuff like that. So, I don't think this is hot. I would go jalapeno.
I'm still kind of confused by the Scoville scale because, like, Trevor's wrong. Like, that's a wrong take, so it's hot. Like, it's a hot take because it's like, oh, no, you're wrong.
Right.
So,
but I think a certain amount of like a hot take is like, okay. I get where you're going with this.
So is it hot or is it not hot?
Yeah.
I don't think it's hot because I don't think that it has any like merit or truth to it. Like a hot take has to have some sort of like inner truth in it that as much as you're frustrated about it, you know, like, deep down that there's a little bit of truth to it.
Like that Karen's better than Pam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, like
well,
that.
Well, then, since this is just not right, I'll give it a jalapeno.
Man, I know that we don't like keep score on these things, but of all the segments that we do, this is the one that I'm the worst at.
No, we need to start keeping score like it's whose line is it anyways.
Where the points don't matter.
Okay. I'm going to regret saying this one. Christopher Nolan is the coldest, least human director.
That's a cold take, I think, by definition.
Technically?
I can kind of understand where you're coming from, especially coming off of Dunkirk, but I don't think that's true. I think it's...
You mean like coldest, least human, like he as a person is not human?
I mean like the stories that he writes and tells are like I'm sure that Christopher Nolan's a warm, fun person, but like the stories that he tell are very cold and distant from like an emotional humanity.
Oh, strongly disagree.
Really?
Yeah. Interstellar. The whole point of Interstellar is a dad trying to get home to his kid.
Yeah, I think this is
we don't
pretty
need to get into Interstellar. Right
same
now.
With Inception. All of his stories are about like human emotion on a grand scale of Bruce Wayne wanting like a man overcoming fear. That's Batman. A man getting home.
Okay,
to his
fine.
Kids, that's
okay, I was wrong. I was wrong. Okay, fine.
Well, and even
this
and
isn't
even
hot at all. It's a bell pepper. Let's move on. Cameron was wrong. He's got pepperoncinis. Whatever. Who cares?
Okay.
Gosh darn it. I don't even fully believe it, and that's why I was like, I'm gonna regret saying this. So, Now I'm that guy that just backs out on things the second he says them. Great. Good job, Cam. I'm quitting the podcast. Vote myself off the island. I'm going home for family reasons.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so let's get out of the way. The hottest take was that Dave Bautista is better than The Rock, right? Yep, we can
definitely.
Fairly.
That was definitely the hottest take. I also think that maybe we should never do this segment again.
Yeah. So, well, then if this is the last time we do this, is Dave Bautista being better than The Rock a hotter hot take than the fact that Up is the worst movie with the exception of the first scene?
I think that's such a good, that's such in the spirit of what we're trying to do here. That's the perfect hot take.
So I think that wins again.
Well, thanks, guys.
So we've done this segment 3 times. Jake has had the hottest segment all 3 times.
What can I say? So, I'm just really hot.
Oh, well, there we go. So that was the last time that we will ever do hot takes. And I hope you guys enjoyed it because we're done with it. All right, so let's get to our review of Megan, the new film from John Turteltaub about a giant shark named Megan.
Oh, this would have been such a better movie.
I was waiting. Like, this would have been the perfect thing for them to just throw in there at any point.
Yeah. Let's talk before we get to anything else about, you guys know I like to complain about movie titles. I do it all the time. This is just abysmal. Like, it would be one thing if, culturally we knew megalodons as Megs. Like, we were, that was, a thing that people did. But no one does that. This is just a bizarre, there are a lot of titles where you have no idea what the movie's about. But, the Meg, what is that? Meg is, two things. It's a nickname for Megan, obviously. Or it's a shortened version of megabytes, which no one ever uses anymore because we're into terabytes now. So I just
what if this was a pixelated shark? It was they only allowed a certain amount of bits for this shark, and so it's just kind of like an 8-bit shark.
So listen, if this movie had been exactly the same except the shark was CGI and 8-bit, this movie would have been twice as good as it was.
And named Megan.
And named Megan. It was just been so funny to hear Jason Statham constantly be like, here comes Megan. There she is. There's Megan.
I was waiting. So there's almost too many characters in here that play that audience voice. You have Rainn Wilson who says some things that you're like, okay, that's pretty truthful. And then you have Paige Kennedy who just kind of throws out these random wrong, all these different types of just random words. And I was so waiting for one of them to be like, what do we call it? And then have one of those two characters just go, Megan, obviously.
I just can't believe that in the movie, literally the moment the shark is on screen, Jason Statham's like, it's a megalodon.
Calm.
What is that? Oh my gosh, it's just, that's a mega.
Especially because he switched his tune from there's definitely some kind of something down there to, oh, I know exactly what it is. It's a prehistoric shark that's been extinct for 2 million years.
Oh my gosh. Your first thought wouldn't just be like, dang, that's a huge shark. Your first thought would be, ugh, it's a megalodon. It's no, that's my reaction in that moment would be like, oh, I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Not, it's a megalodon. No, dude. Get out of here. You're unreal.
Okay.
Not that anything in this movie is real.
When this movie started, in the submarine flashback, Jason Statham is saving the day, he does this entire movie. Just the cinematography in that very first shot, I was just like, oh, well, I know exactly what this is going to be. It just felt so sci-fi.
This is B-movie to the core. Yes. Yeah.
Just 100%. Immediately, kind of shaky, really wide angle camera with no contrast. And why are the lights like that? Just we're in a submarine. Look at that costume. It's terrible. It was wait, so you're telling me that they're 12,000 feet below the ocean and this is the safety gear that they're given? A plastic bag with a belt and a gas mask attached to it? Ugh.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, there was multiple times where they'd be, like, panning or tracking. There's specifically, like, as the helicopter with Jason Statham in it is going from where Jason Statham is an alcoholic out in Thailand to wherever Megan is in China. And
it never there's like these funny.
It just would have made the movie so much better. But like there's shots over there where it's supposed to be like these smooth shots of a helicopter flying. And their like panning is so jittery that it's like they almost had like a lock on the like Y axis on the tripod. And then all of a sudden some guy was like, dude, you flip it off. And then he's like, oh, there we go. And finally like realized that he could like turn the head of the cam- of the tripod as he was going. It's even I noticed that. And that's not my like I'm normally terrible at picking up on things like that.
Yeah. This
How long did it take you guys to realize, oh, most of the funding from this movie probably came from China?
When did the scene first scene after that opening scene?
First where it was like Shanghai.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Right there, new.
Yeah. And then I like how Shanghai gets an establishing shot and nothing actually happens there. All we see is a helicopter leaving it. And then it's suddenly 200 miles off the coast. Like, what? Also, how deep is this oil rig if it's 200 miles off the coast? I mean,
Trevor, that's like, it's deeper than the Marianas Trench. That's we just the tallest didn't know
structure
it
on Earth.
Because there was some clouds in the water.
So if these people have gone deeper than the Marianas Trench, does that mean James Cameron is off of the honorable mention list now?
Shut your mouth. That is offensive. How dare you?
You know, so if James Cameron, bless his soul, if he watched this movie for some reason, he definitely was thinking, oh, I could have made this better. I could have made this movie much better.
He could have. In his defense, he could have.
That's true.
Yeah. So, for those of you guys who don't know, let's quickly go through some basics for this movie. Okay. The Meg is obviously about a giant 70-foot shark that Jason Statham once saw or thought he saw and then went to go live on an island drunk for a while and then is brought back with the task of rescuing a submarine from the bottom of the ocean. And then from there, a Meg gets out. And then all hell breaks loose, pretty much. So that's about as much as you need to know about this movie to understand anything. Because after that, it's just action of how can we kill a giant shark.
And everybody makes all the wrong decisions.
Yes. This is the opposite of Jurassic Park. If Jurassic Park, like we say, I'm probably getting annoyed of me saying this by now, but if Jurassic Park is smart people making smart decisions and bad things keep happening, this is dumb people making dumb decisions and bad things keep happening. Or good things, depending on who you're rooting for. If you're rooting for Megan, you're probably like, yeah, get it.
So let's just generally, is this the most bland movie you guys have ever seen? There's like nothing interesting that happens at all in this movie. The script is pedestrian. The acting is pedestrian. Everything is pedestrian. It's not even like, I mean, there are some bad things that we've talked about, but it's not even really bad enough to be like fun bad. It just isn't interesting at all.
Okay. I will say this just to frame the rest of this conversation. I actually had fun watching this movie, but I had fun because it was such garbage. Like, I went into this movie expecting nothing, expecting it to be terrible. And at the end of it, I was like, there was some funny parts. There was some like cool action. Like, is it a good movie? Gosh, no. Did I have fun? Yeah, I had fun for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't even interesting enough to be fun for me.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting enough or it wasn't bad enough. Like,
right, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't Sharknado and it sure as hell wasn't Jaws. So it was just kind of like... well.
Speaking of those, is there a single shot of an actual real life shark in this movie? Like, is there one frame of any real sharks?
No.
Of a non CGI? No.
Nope. Oh my gosh.
Was anybody else disappointed by how small Megan was? Like Megan 1 and Megan 2. Spoiler.
My thing about the size here is that that winch on that boat could not have pulled that shark onto it. That's just
nope.
There's no way that's happening.
No.
Also, the but two Trevor, sharks was like this really strange twist that was unnecessary. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so we're into spoilers now, if you can't tell. Oh, so whoops. If you want to see this movie and we spoiled it by revealing that there are two Megans, fine. Whatever. It's not like you're going to go see it if you haven't already seen it this weekend. But apparently a lot of people went to go see it because it was only projected to make $20 million. And ended up making $44 million domestically and $150 million worldwide.
Yeah, my theater was packed, and there were multiple little children, which was disturbing.
I just don't.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
I don't understand the person who sees this trailer and goes to see this movie who doesn't have one of these movie subscription services from the future or a podcast. Like, what is it about this trailer that was appealing to anyone whatsoever?
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that because in my head, I just assume everybody goes and sees every movie.
Right. So I'm sitting there in the IMAX, which I only went to because I have AMC A-list or whatever. But I was sitting here thinking, there's like 50 people in this room or more that paid $12 to see this. Like, what?
Yeah.
I just
it's
don't
the
understand.
Shark Week phenomenon thing. Like people, ever since Jaws came out, people love shark movies, and it's the summer, and like people are stupid, Trevor. Like that's the other thing is like people go to the movies for like escapism and like stupid big things that they can't see elsewhere. So yeah, it's a bummer, but it's the truth.
Man, I would have rather seen. I mean, I don't know. If I didn't do this podcast, I would have watched Fallout like 5 times before I watched this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Absolutely.
I would probably go see Fallout as many times as possible on a big screen. And that's going to be my recommendation of the week, is just go see Fallout a bunch. Don't go see this. If you've made it to the end of our podcast, past spoilers, don't go see this. Unless you're like me and you can enjoy a good garbage action movie every once in a while. If you're just like, hey, I need some Fast and the Furious in the water, minus the D's, plus Jason Statham, then this movie's for you.
No, it's not.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. Jason Statham should just make a transporter movie every 3 years until he's too old to move. And
no, I think that's when he should start making them.
That's what he should do.
This is so much worse than Fast and the Furious.
I completely agree.
This isn't worse than the second Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious is pretty down there.
This is only better than Tokyo Drift.
No. Oh, my gosh. You clearly don't understand the series. No. Oh, wow. No. We need... Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. We are going to have a segment dedicated to why Tokyo Drift is one of the best Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, Cameron.
No.
I feel
this
conversation is very indicative of our feelings about the Meg. I think back when I think of bad movies.
I won't defend the Meg whatsoever.
I think back to when you guys, and I missed it, when you guys reviewed Transformers The Last Night last year, and I enjoyed listening to that podcast, even though I didn't see the movie, because, I mean, we can all make fun of a Michael Bay movie, and we can talk about how dumb it is for hours on end, but this movie isn't even, like, dumb interesting. There's just nothing interesting about it.
I will say this movie, there are many times where I look at a movie like this and I go, who's Jason Bay?
He played for the Red Sox late 2000s.
Okay. Is Michael Bay actually a good action director? Like, he's not a good director or storyteller, but is he really good at directing action? Because there are like times where Transformers
I'm
is like...
I'm telling you. Yeah, I think we've talked about this. I would hire Michael Bay as like a action consultant on my movie.
Oh, absolutely. Him and Zack Snyder need to form a visuals production company where good storytelling directors come to them and they're like, hey, there's this big fight scene. And you guys are just going to do that. And you're not going to touch anything else while you're in the room.
we don't want any Mountain Dew. We don't want any Axe body spray on the desk. You're just right. there and to direct the action.
And you don't even talk what to if the actors. Like, you talk to me and I talk to the actors.
What if Zack Snyder can't get a job in Hollywood anymore? So he starts making like Devin Supertramp style videos on YouTube.
You should do that.
Of just like his bros doing like cool action stuff out in the world. I like, mean, hey, we built a giant swing on an arch. Will Smith has a pretty decent YouTube channel.
Yeah. Just, I mean, this is all he figured out. He's like, oh, I'm just charismatic. You know where that works? Yeah. YouTube. Okay. Guys,
yeah.
we have.
Yeah. I think he took my advice.
We have to, like, maybe at least talk about the Meg for a little bit.
No, we don't need to talk about Megan because the movie's fine for what it is. Okay.
Wait, so let's talk about the saddest thing about the Meg. Is how awful Rainn Wilson is, and it just makes me so sad because he's abysmal.
Is this not what you've come to expect from him? Like, have you honestly? I don't like. No, I love Rainn Wilson on The Office, but he has never done anything worth of note outside of that.
I know it. Just he was a one trick pony, but it didn't seem that way because Dwight Schrute is such an interesting character. And it just makes me sad.
I agree with you, man. I love Rainn Wilson in the role of Dwight. I think he's also a super interesting person. Like, he co-founded Soul Pancake and like Kid President and has done a ton of like really awesome charity work through media, through his production companies. I love all of his interviews. And I mean, like you said, he's Dwight. Like, that's one of the most iconic TV characters ever. But I mean, I really don't think anybody has had as bad of a career post Office as he has.
Yeah. Maybe Plop.
Maybe Plop. Poor but Plop.
The worst thing about his character is that he has some like fun lines and parts and whatnot. But then at one point you're supposed to believe, like, out of nowhere, it's like, oh, all of a sudden he's the bad guy because he wants to go kill this shark himself. Like, it's this twist that it's like all of a sudden that happens, and then it's like we're supposed to be happy that he gets brutally eaten by the shark after being left alone in the ocean.
Yeah, none of this movie deaths,
it's such a weird twist.
None of the deaths felt like good or bad. It was just kind of like
the only
death.
The most interesting one was the guy in the sub handing the note to his buddy.
Oh, you mean Hero? That was Heroes.
Yes. Yeah,
that was the most impactful death for me.
Do you know what the note said? It said, "Save the cheerleader, save the world."
Oh my gosh. This is a crossover. This is, oh my goodness. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is now a crossover with Hero, and we're going to get Siler cutting off the head of Megan.
Yes.
Dude, killer, killer. This is,
Yes.
This movie.
Oh my goodness.
Along the lines of what we were just saying, this movie really could have used a Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think they tried to have that though, between Paige Kennedy's character and Rainn Wilson's character. I think they tried to have like a non.
There need like a voice of reason character. Like, you guys are all idiots. Why are we even doing this?
Yeah, I think Paige Kennedy tried to be that when they're like, nobody ever thought there could be this. And he's just like, wrong. Like, I think that he's trying to be that person, but obviously doesn't get it. Here's my biggest complaint for this movie. You mean to tell me that this movie cost $178 million and this is the best cast you could put together for that money?
I felt really bad for the Asian actors because, first off, they are not given much to work with, and what they are given to work with, they're having to do it in clearly their second language, and so their performances suffer. The only like actually good, believable, emotional moment in this film is when she is like talking to her dying father in, I think it's Chinese. Was that Chinese? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're Chinese.
That was with subtitles. That was the only good acting performance in the movie.
I also, she kind of the sweet little way that she like did like the little bit symbol to Jason Statham. Those those little exchanges between them were pretty nice. I mean, not that Jason Statham was playing anything other than his normal Jason Statham.
It was just weird how like the entire plot of the movie was like, Jason Statham, the white man, comes in and saves everybody. Like,
yeah.
Did that feel weird to anybody?
This is like the Great Wall with Matt Damon 2.0, but with sharks.
And all of these are funded by China. And so it's really weird that China's like, we have to bring the white person in to save everybody.
There's a really big stereotype issue with Paige Kennedy's DJ also. He's like the funny black guy who talks like a black guy. And
who can't swim.
It's like not funny and very uncomfortable, at least for me anyway. I didn't think he was funny at all.
No, I didn't. I don't think I laughed at all in this movie.
Oh, I laughed quite a bit. I'll be really honest. Out of like, oh my gosh, that was such garbage. It's interesting that you bring up like the Asian actors not getting their due, because it's this weird contrast between Crazy Rich Asians, which comes out this next weekend and is getting incredible reviews and features an all Asian cast for a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's when you kind of frame it like that, of like these two movies coming out back to back, it's weird to see like a cast that actually decided to represent the culture and, you know, bring in actual people that would probably be on this rig if it was where it was in the world.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like, all these random people that we could just get to act in our movie.
I just hate when it's like you have all these really high level scientists sitting in a room and it's like, you telling me this big ass shark is coming up in here? And it's like, that's not how any of these highly trained marine biologists are going to talk to each other about the situation.
Was anybody upset that we never saw Jason Statham throw a punch at the shark at any point?
We also never saw him in alcohol withdrawals, which was something I kept thinking about. If that man is drinking as much as they're making us believe, he's now gone, you know, 36 hours, 72 hours without a drink whatsoever. Is he not having like a massive headache or something? Come on. That would have been a good way to humanize the character, you know? John Turteltaub.
Not to mention he's doing deep dives that have crazy insane effects on your brain and on your body. And he's just like to blackout points and pretty much just being like, hey, I'm good, Doc. Don't worry about it. I'm a handsome robe. I'm good. It's like, no, you would probably be pretty messed up.
You have a pretty good Jason Statham impression, Cameron.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. It's pretty good.
I am bald. All us bald people can do impressions of each other.
He's your king.
Yes.
Bruce Willis? Is Bruce Willis the king of bald people?
No, Bruce Willis is down in the dungeon after bringing some nice mead wine. He is garbage. Don't ever say that name. If you say that around our king, Vinyl Diesel, by the way, I think that Vin's short for Vinyl, just like Daniel. So Vinyl Diesel, then okay. He will be upset. So just don't bring that up around him.
I think it's probably short for Vincent.
No, it's Vinyl. Wow, Trevor.
What is one positive thing of the Meg? One positive thing.
Here, my favorite thing about this film was the production design and the art direction of the set pieces. I think they were kind of sleek and cool.
Hmm.
Especially the submarines and underwater vehicles.
Yeah, that's a good positive thing.
I don't know if I have a legitimate positive.
The other, my...
About this movie that's not a, like, it's so bad that...
My snarky positive is that this shows you that anyone can write a script for a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, that's true. My positive is the little girl was actually very cute and gave a pretty good performance.
She did good.
I agree.
Guys, Eli Roth was going to direct this movie.
Okay, see...
Which, if you don't know, Eli Roth is probably the bloodiest, most like... He did like The Hills Have Eyes and Green Inferno?
I don't know.
See, that's the kind of interesting bad that I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like, this movie like was so clearly like, we have to be PG-13. You know? That's my problem.
I think I said this when we first talked about this trailer coming out a few months ago. I said, I'm offended that this exists. And... And I still am. It's, this is a like engineered in a lab for like to be a summer blockbuster. It's not meant to be like art or even entertainment. It's just supposed to be a product that people buy blindly. It's like a flashy new cereal on the end cap. You don't know if it's good or not, but you buy it there and it's expensive. It's got the Kellogg's stamp on it. Just like the Jason Statham stamp. So you're like, oh, right, well, this is a movie. So it's just, I'm still offended that this exists.
There's two things that I want to say really quick. One, why would you not make the shark bigger? Like the shark at times felt a little bit underwhelming. And two, it's always very frustrating to me with big action movies like this that directors don't ever go wide on any angles and kind of give you a perspective of, like, just kind of sit for a little bit and let us take in the perspective of how large this shark is. Anytime that we would kind of get a full shot of the shark, it was either really quick, like 1 second, and then cut to the next thing, or it was something that, like, action to where we didn't really get a depth of the actual scale of the shark in that moment. Like, one of the things I love about the new Godzilla movie is that, yes, it holds it for a while, but when that movie fully reveals just how big Godzilla is, you have a full sense of the massiveness of this monster because you're able to see it and just kind of sit with it for a second. Like, they give you time to sit there and go, oh my gosh, that thing is way bigger than I even thought. And you have all this context from earlier in the movie of like seeing like outside of a hotel window, just how big its leg is. So if you're going to direct big action with big monsters, give us scale of how big it actually is. Like, water is not a good representation of like how big it is, but there are plenty of times with people and boats that they very much could have given us an idea of how big it was.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Did you guys think the ending of like, well, what if we make the final battle a fighter pilot battle? What if we did Top Gun in the water? Like, that was so weird.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty much what it is. You're right.
Yeah.
The issue here is I can't think of a really interesting way for a bunch of regular humans to kill a giant shark.
I'd be willing to bet that it's a lot easier than what they made it look like. Other than like once you kind of find it, like obviously tracking it, if you didn't have a tracker on it, would be pretty stinking difficult.
Yeah, that's true. Like a standard shoulder mount RPG to the mouth should do it, right?
They established that Rainn Wilson is able to call in like military commandos with helicopters pretty immediately. And when you establish then, that, you have to... Yeah.
Right, but these commandos, apparently the best they can do is a bunch of dynamite that doesn't float.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that when the helicopter came, the whole time I was just waiting for the helicopter to come and then the shark to jump out of the water and destroy.
I know, that was such a
bummer.
That
didn't happen.
I really wanted that to happen too.
Like, half of Shark Week is just like boats pulling an outline of a seal behind it and then us watching as the shark comes 20 feet out of the water. And never do we get that. That's ridiculous. All right, well, I think we can all agree this movie's garbage, and we enjoyed it on different levels.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it on none levels.
None levels. Okay, so Trevor, let's get to our ratings. What's your rating for this movie?
My rating is 12 feet out of 75 feet of Megalodon.
Oof.
This is...
Oof. So a regular great
white. This is probably... If this movie had been worse, I would have liked it better. It just there's no distinct quality to this film whatsoever, and that's like a really that's like the worst thing you can say about a movie. I think it never proved that it needed to exist.
Yeah, for me, this is a D minus. There were times where I was kind of like, or like, oh, big shark, but that's about it. Yeah.
Oof,
and that happened maybe like twice. So this isn't the worst movie I've seen since we've started this podcast. So D minus, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely I don't want to dig too much into that. Not the
I'm
worst.
I'm gonna give this movie a D. I don't think it's good at all. It's close to garbage. But if I had to watch this or Transformers The Last Night again, I would choose this because it's an hour shorter.
Which is ridiculous.
So that's all we have for our review of The Megan. Let's go ahead and get to our content of the week. Trevor, what is your content of the week?
So if you wanted to watch the good version of this movie, I want to recommend Pacific Rim. A fun little sci-fi film by Guillermo del Toro that was never appreciated as much as it should have been. I'm talking about the first one, of course, not the sequel from this year. If you also wanted to watch the good version of this movie, you should watch Jurassic Park, because I kept on thinking over and over again during different scenes about how this was similar to Jurassic Park, and it always went a different direction. So yeah, those are some good monster movies. Also, Kong Skull Island is a good monster movie. So if you like monster movies, check out some good ones.
Jake.
I'm going to go on the theme of what this movie should have been, or watch this instead. And it is maybe the best shark movie made since Jaws. And it is Deep Blue Sea. Deeper, bluer, my head is like a shark's fin. Deeper, bluer, my head is like a shark's fin. My hat is like a shark's fin. Yeah. Deepest,
bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Is that a song that's in it?
That's the song that LL Cool J made for the credits.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, yeah. You better believe I'm putting that track in.
Why did I not know about this?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
That's actually my content of the week. Go watch LL Cool J's Deeper, Bluer, My Hat is Like a Shark's Fin music video.
I hope it's the 90th thing I've ever seen.
It's man. Up there, man.
The ladies, they love Cool James, you know? You can't deny it.
All right, I'm going to recommend what I actually think is the best shark movie since Jaws. And it came out, I think, 2 years ago in 2016. It's called The Shallows with Blake Lively.
Oh.
It is surprisingly good. You wouldn't think that a movie like that is good. I didn't think the movie like that would be good, but my wife talked me into going to see it because I like movies and we'll go see pretty much any movie, so it wasn't that hard. And I actually really enjoyed it. It's pretty suspenseful. It's pretty well done. The guy who made it is actually doing something big now. I can't remember what he's doing, but it kind of got him to boost into the next range of movies.
He's doing Jungle Cruise.
That's it. Oh, dang it. Well,
Jomei Kalei Sarah?
Yep. That guy. It was made for $17 million and made $120 million. So, pretty successful. If you like the name of this movie but didn't feel that you got enough Megan, there are some Key and Peele skits online about a character named Megan that's sometimes named Megan. And she is crazy. So, go watch those because Key and Peele are awesome. Unless you're Dave Chappelle, which then Key and Peele are the worst. I don't know how to feel about that. And then, as always, Hard Knocks is back on HBO.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting show. They're covering the Cleveland Browns this year. There's a very interesting moment to open up the episode where Baker Mayfield shows up and he's their first round pick. And there is pretty much everybody there to greet him. And then Nick Chubb, who's one of the best running backs the past couple of years in college football, is just waiting at baggage claim for his bag without anybody around him and has random people going, "Oh, did you play in college?" And he's like, "Yeah, I played for Georgia." They're like, "Oh, that's a big school." It's like, "Yeah, this is Nick Chubb. He's a big deal." So that's kind of the start of it, and it just kind of kicks off from there. It's interesting, and it's a good show. It's well worth your time. All right, well, that's all we have for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a new episode and a review of something else. If you've enjoyed listening to us, please go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, review us, and go share us with your friends and family that all saw The Meg, because apparently a bunch of people saw it. I don't know who. Oh my gosh, this movie only made $16 million less than Mission Impossible. I just thought of that. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay, wrong? Cameron. It's going to be okay.
Ugh. If you want to know more about us, you can go to our website at popcornoptional.com. If you want to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at popcornoptional or on Facebook at popcornoptional. My name is Cameron Slanina. You can find me online at 321 Cami Time. Jake, where can we find you online?
You can find me online at jakebrown.tv. That's my website and my Instagram. Trevor?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TurboTrevor.
All right, until next time, we hope you have a great week. Watch some movies, and in the words of the great Michael Scott, we'll be back ASAP as possible.
Bye.
I'll be good.
deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Man-made terror, hundred jaws of death. Battle cross my depths, I'll pause your breath. I caught you to sink down 40,000 leagues. Bleeding to death with no arms or short sleeves. A world's deep blue, killers gotta eat too. Looking for human flesh to rip my teeth through. Other fish and deceiver, barracudas ain't equal to a half-human predator created by a needle. Jet black eyes, baby, they stare while you sleep. When your Titanic sink, I'm the one you gon' meet. Hearing terrified screams, they surround my team. All you see is trails of blood, either God won't intervene. Nightmares of darkness, my appetite is heartless. Even if we related, you eliminated regardless. In the deep blue, underwater walls, half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Killers want a beast, swallowing in flames. They switch my DNA, flip me to Cool J. I can't fight the feeling, I'm forced to kill. Pray to survive an attack, there's only one way. Battle to the death, that's how sharks play. Weapons left behind, we dueling with the mind. You blind, crippled, and crazy, you're real easy to find. Struggling to float with hemorrhages in your throat. Getting the lap dance when I smash through your boat. Eat your whole fam, nothing left with a right hand. Clinging to a rail, escape attempt fail. You never make it home, tear the flesh off your bone. Walking in undercurrents is a dangerous zone. I'm talking death out of moments notice. You wasn't focused, me and my crew strike like some underwater locusts. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Take it deeper, take it deeper, take it deeper, take it deeper. The water's at waist level, the hallway's flooded. Lost the scuba gear, the killer's cold-blooded. His name's LL, you don't really want it. I hate your ancestors, the ocean is haunted. I'm closing in cause I'm supposed to win. How the cold steel feel when it froze your shin? Should've stayed on dry land, stroke while you can. Cause now you under pressure in the land of the damned. Abandoned pirate ships, eels the side scar. Fish that glow in the dark, the Titanic's hull. Underwater storms, your blood is so warm. Your life vest is off and that turns me on. Killing for centuries, the goddy of the deep. In the next millennium, I'm still gonna creep. Sand under my belly, ocean over my head. Through the light and the shadows, you will come to live the dead. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
You see this guy? This guy's real creepy.